Hey, besties.
Welcome to the BFF Bookcast.
We're your hosts, Teresa and Katie.
Before we jump in, we just want to remind everyone that what we discuss are our own thoughts and opinions. Just remember, we are here to have a good time.
And as always, please check trigger warnings before reading any books we will be discussing. And beware, we curse like the Bat Boys probably do during their annual snowball fight. G'day.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Top of the morning to ya. Okay, well, I think that my British sounded good when I said, hello, Katie. But then that's like all I can do.
I keep telling Tom, we still haven't decided yet about Australia. But a part of me is kind of like, fuck it, let's just do it. Like, who fucking cares? Like, nothing's going to happen to our children. They'll be two and a half and one.
Yeah.
They'll be sleeping. Like, Liam's almost sleeping through the night. Like, we're so close. And, like, we don't have to go. I don't need to go for, like, 10 days. I can go for 5. Like, there's,
Katie,
like,
you can't. You're not taking
10. I don't, like, maybe I need to do some more research, but I was, like, looking at things to do. And, like, I think I can bang this out in 5 days. It's just me.
Katie's like, I'm literally going to take a 28-hour flight and only spend 3 days on the ground, but it's fine.
I would say like 4 days on the ground, one for marathon, and then like 3 days for discovering, 1 day home. That's my thought.
Okay.
To be determined.
TBD. Go on like Reddit or join a Facebook group.
I should.
Because people have like very good advice for things like that.
Yeah. Especially since it's like literally a world away, so.
You could go out there. Okay, guys. If you're joining us expecting this to be a spilling the tea episode, as per was on the calendar, we both read Deep End as like the day it came out. So we're going to talk about that today instead of next week because we don't want to forget. So what I was going to say was you can go to Melbourne and see them in the Olympics.
So true.
So true.
So true.
Anyway, I mean, like we said, Deep End, Allie Hazelwood. It follows Scarlett Vandermeer, Vandy, as her friends call her, and Lucas Blomqvist, which Sweetie, as his friends call him. Best nickname. She's a diver, competitive diver. He is a competitive swimmer. Maybe the best swimmer, like the Michael Phelps of their generation.
Yes.
He's from Sweden, if you didn't know that already, but he's Swedish. Yeah. And he is dating the team captain of Scarlett's diving team, Penny.
Pen.
And they are not compatible sexually, Lucas and Pen. So Pen's like, I want to go out and I want to explore my other options. Why don't you date Scarlett, who has the same sexual appetite as you?
Mm-hmm.
And so then they do. So we could just jump right in from there.
I have a lot to unpack. So, well, first and foremost, and I'm sure you caught this, Allie Hazelwood has to have ties to New Jersey because Penn is from New Jersey.
Yeah.
We're just going to leave that on the table. We talked about this in her other book. She, like, specifically references a couple places. She's somehow a New Jerseyan or, like, knows about Jersey.
Yes.
Any whoosie-whatsies. Vandy is extremely intelligent.
Yes.
We know that, which is really cool. And this strikes a chord with me. Not that I'm a STEM girly, but I was a bio major.
Yes.
And because my bio program, because let me back up 7 seconds, I went to an all-girls Catholic university.
Sounds like my nightmare.
Actually, it was probably the best experience of my life, and we can unpack that another time. But, and it's not because I'm, like it just, I don't know, like, it was
It's because different. Katie's a big-time loser.
Duh. No, it was, like, it forced my hand. And
yeah,
like, no,
I'm kidding.
It was, I don't know, like, boys weren't your folk. It was really cool, and for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah.
Anywho. As a bio major, your class size was like 1 of 4. So, like, I got to know, like, certain girls who were extremely STEM-focused, like, if you were dual majors with bio and chem. So she, this girl reminds me, in terms of intelligence, of this girl that I went to school with. Her name was Renee. She's a walking, like, encyclopedia of knowledge. She tried to communicate. She made me her friend. And, like, half the time she would talk to me, I'm like, Renee, it's sailing over my head. So, anywho, I will say, I feel like I could relate in some way. Because she was very heavy, and like maybe even this girl Renee could probably, like, based off what she was telling me, could relate more so. So we're gonna pretend that we're Renee. She was so focused on like her schoolwork and where she wants to go, and because of her intelligence, sometimes, not that you put yourself in a corner where you don't have a lot of friends, but like, mm-hmm. and it's not that you aren't easily able to make friends, but sometimes you just don't. Like, she strikes me as someone who's a little bit more introverted. Like, she's totally okay in social situations and can hold her own, but still more introvert. Like, totally okay with being one-on-one by herself. Totally okay with, like, only maybe having a core couple of friends. And she references this, like, throughout the mm-hmm. book. Like, she's never really had, like, a good best friend. Like, so I think she really does latch on to Penn. And Penn is kind to her for the most part.
Yeah, her and Penn's relationship is really interesting.
I don't know if I could be that friend. Like, I don't know if I could be Violet.
Scarlet.
Why am I thinking Violet? I don't know. I'm sorry.
Violet Soaringale. No. Scarlet has, like, a traumatic childhood where her father was, like, very mentally and verbally abusive to her and her stepmother. To the point where her stepmother actually has custody of Scarlet, and they, like, kind of, like, leave that in the past. And I think with the STEM major and the competitive diving to the point where she's, like, competing for, like, to go to the Olympics, she really doesn't have any downtime to, like, just go out, be a normal girl, and, like, try to make friends.
Exactly. You're literally friends with the people you see on a day-to-day basis, and yes. that's your teammates and maybe the people in some of your classes.
Yes. And I think that Scarlet has, I don't want to say like insecurities, but I guess they are insecurities with interpersonal relationships. And I think it stems a lot from her relationship like with her dad, where she feels like she's kind of like a burden to people sometimes. And her diving team, they're all like, they all do become good friends with her, but she's injured pretty early on, I think, in like their diving career. So for the first year, she's not really like around the team a lot because she's rehabbing from her injury. So like, we're picking up this book kind of in the beginning of like the new season, and she's
here.
Yeah.
And I would like, imagine being a college student coming in fresh, meeting new people, and then maybe going through a season and then getting, like you're saying, getting injured, rehabbing. So in those crucial, like, first couple years of, like, establishing rapport mm-hmm. with your teammates and building relationships, she's removed out of it.
Yeah.
She's there, but she's not really there.
Yeah. And she's, like, there's five girls on the team. The twins are diving synchro partners. And then Penn and – is Violet the other girl? No. Something.
Something
with a V. She gets injured. She doesn't matter anymore. No, I'm kidding. They're diving synchro partners. So even in like the realm of like the diving team, she is kind of like the singled out girl. Yeah. And we like learn early on, it starts, you know, it's Penn's birthday or one of the girls' birthdays. And they're basically like, okay, Penn immediately is like, oh, you know, you're dating like Lucas Blomquist. And basically, you don't have any sexual chemistry with like this walking, talking Swedish god.
Yeah.
And a lot of like people don't understand. Like, the thing with Penn is like, I don't like obviously how she handled things at the end. And I'm happy that, Victoria is the other friend. Victoria. I'm happy that she does apologize and like really owns her bullshit.
Yes.
But I also can like kind of sympathize with Penn the more that we like learn about her. She's always been like, Penn is like a diving prodigy, always been the top of the game, made it really hard for her to make friends because people were obviously young girls can be catty and jealous.
Girls are rough.
And Lucas, Lucas's mom unfortunately passes away, and him and Penn really just like bond. Like they meet really young, and they kind of bond over like a shared need for like camaraderie.
Yeah.
And they like turn it into a relationship that neither one of them are really honestly into at all. Like it's not like he's pining for her, or she's pining for him. It's a very big, like are best friends, and it's, and there's a lot of comfort there, and they've always had each other's backs, which like, I appreciate that. So I was kind of hoping Penn would like stand up and do the right thing right off the bat and not like have to kind of be a bitch at the end for a minute. But like, I mean, again, like I do get it. Cause when you're in your 20s and you kind of feel like you're losing everything, it's easy to lash out at other people and blame other people for it.
Yes, I agree. And like, what's her face? Vandy, kind of being Vandy, sees Penn as like, not like an opportunity, but like, I can understand you finally kind of have like this potential opening to maybe get to know someone a bit more. You like the person from what you're seeing. So she automatically reaches out to be like, hey, if you ever need to like talk, like just being kind, which obviously opened the door to kind of figure out like what she was into. And like, she was then trying to lend like a helping hand to Penn to like, quote unquote, help out. Like it was her olive branch moment. Like, yeah. I can finally kind of like maybe get myself, and her intentions were, I need a friend. Let me do this. It was, it's almost like this, I got the sense that Vandy was like this like pure girl who like I'm envisioning like a 10-year-old on like the playground, right? Like you're probably even younger before like the maliciousness creeps into girls, like where you're just trying to be friends. Like no one's out to get boyfriends or steal each other's, like your intentions are just so pure. And that's what I like felt with Vandy. Like she just had good intentions to speak out with Penn. With Penn, I do agree. And like, I feel like I was able to see like all sides of Penn. Like the minute she kept, like when you get those interactions where people are asking Lucas or Penn about the other as if they're still dating, I'm like, this bitch isn't freaking saying shit. Like, why is she not just copping to the fact that they broke up? Like, I'm not liking this.
Yeah.
But then when you understand, like, here she is kind of, I don't want to say spiraling, but like you're saying she's losing everything, you're going to grasp on to anything of comfort. And that was Lucas.
Yeah.
Even when they were at like the party, like she's texting Lucas, like you should be here. Lucas dropping things to go help her. Like if I was Vandy too, I'd kind of be like, what are you guys doing? Like what's, like I know we don't have a relationship aside from the sexual aspect, but what is happening?
Yeah, I think Vandy's a better person than I'd ever be in that situation. Because Vandy, I thought that Vandy was going to be much more insecure about the relationship between Lucas and Penn. But she was like so, like she knew, Scarlett really knew how Lucas felt about her. And she did not feel threatened.
No.
If anything, I think Scarlett used it as a shield for herself. Mm-hmm. To not have to like really admit to herself her feelings for Lucas and like Lucas's feelings for her, because like she even said, she's like, I know he's not in love with her. There's things that that like she even said, she's like, Penn thinks she knows him, and everything Lucas is telling me, like the stories don't add up, and like so she's like, they're not as close as Penn thinks that they are. Yeah. Like Penn does not know Lucas as well as she thinks she does. And I think that Scarlett, like trying to be a good friend, had to like wrestle with that a little bit, being like, oh, I know this guy more than she does. Kind of like Scarlett knew that Lucas was in love with her, and Scarlett knew that she was in love with Lucas.
Yeah.
And I mean, I get that, because again, like you're, I mean, again, it's, I would never be like, oh, I think that you should fuck my friend. Couldn't be me.
Couldn't be me either.
So the minute
remain friends with the person that was in the relationship, like kudos to Vandy. I don't know, especially at that age.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I do like about Allie Hazelwood too, is even though this was a college romance, it read more mature.
Yes, it did. And but I like that. So the whole reason, obviously, so we find out Scarlet, like, really does not pay 1 ounce of attention to Lucas until Penn is like, you should maybe bang my boyfriend.
Yeah.
And then Scarlet starts, like, watching him and, like, noticing him. But she's, like, really one-track mind. She's like, school, diving, that's kind of it.
MCATs, yeah, here we go.
Yeah. And once, like, that is kind of opened up and her and Lucas begin to talk, obviously, whatever. But we find out that Lucas has been smitten with her from the minute he saw her on, like, her, I think it was when she was touring the school.
Yeah, I think so.
And she had no idea who he was. She never, like, she's very oblivious. Like, she's been hit on by, like, everybody on the swim team, has no idea, which is, like, so cute. But the whole reason why they get together is this, like, mutual sexual BDSM is what it was kind of marketed as. And this is why this book did not, this is one of two reasons why this book only got like 4, 4.5 stars for me. Because they put this huge emphasis on this BDSM relationship. And then they do whatever that questionnaire, like what they're cool with. We don't know what's on this questionnaire. We don't know what either of them are cool with.
All we know, one, she likes being a submissive.
Well, yes. We know that he's a dom, she's a sub. Yeah. But then there's there's no BDSM. Like, there's no tying up. There's no blindfold. There's no whips. There's no chains. Like, there is...
He smacked her ass.
Which, okay. That's pretty vanilla. Like, I was like, okay, so him and Penn, they needed to break up. They were not in love. But they break up because he wants to, like, explore this more, like, dominant side of himself. And Penn's, like, not into it. And then the whole time I'm like, he's just... I don't think that either of them were really into BDSM because there's no BDSM in this book. Yeah. Which is so funny because people are, like, complaining online, like, this was too much spice and, like, this was this. And they're like, oh, I'm not going to read it because it's going to be dark. I'm like, they were just, like, having normal people sex.
He was telling her what to do.
Which, good.
Cool.
But not in a dominant, submissive way.
No, I kid you not, every time we got into, like, you knew you were entering a spicy scene, I was like, this must be the scene that people are crazy about, that people are saying that this is Allie Hazelwood's spiciest, and me, like, sure, maybe, but, like, it wasn't that, it was going to be hot, heavy spice, focusing on that BDSM, and I was like, I'm confused. Have you all never read a spicy book before?
Or a book that's, like, a little bit of a dark romance, because... And dark romance,
is much darker than what we just read BDSM of this book.
If you guys pick this book up hoping for some spicy BDSM energy, you're not going to get it. But let me recommend The Architect by Nikki Sloan if you want to read a book that is strictly erotica and very BDSM.
There you go.
That's my recommendation, because this book was not it, which it was fine with me. I liked the spice in this.
But don't market that way. Don't market it that way if it's not what it is.
Right. Because I think a lot of people were initially turned off, didn't want to read it because they were expecting something darker.
Yeah.
And then people who were expecting something darker and then got kind of like just a vanilla romance. Like, for instance, you guys, in Wild Eyes by Elsie Silver, I honestly think the scene when West spits in, is her name Scarlet too? Sloan?
I think it's Sloan.
Well, whatever. When West literally, first of all, I'm pretty sure that this is happening outside on his car, which, okay. And then he spits in her mouth so that she can spit on his dick. That to me is more like raunchy than anything we got in Deep End.
Yes. Let's talk about the gunplay in one of Emily McIntyre's books.
Yeah.
In the middle of a dark alley.
Yeah.
Her soul to take from, oh my God, what's that?
I mean, those are distinctly, those are very distinctly darker romances. But
I can understand what you're saying. Like, I'm not someone who maybe would want to read about, like, too heavy of a BDSM book. I mean, I've dabbled in the dark romance. You don't know what you like until you try it.
Yeah.
And I can say for certain, it's not my cup of tea. Like, I'll read some of it depending upon how crazy we get with it. But
yeah. Basically, like, and BDSM doesn't need to be dark. Like,
no,
No, they normally go hand in hand. You see more of that in a dark romance, but
even basically just being tied up. Like, I thought for sure maybe there'd be,
I
like,
thought that they would be tied up and there would be blindfolds.
Yes, me too.
And maybe like a butt plug. Yeah.
And like, I wouldn't call it vanilla, but like maybe like a step up for like, like, you know, like a vanilla with
a vanilla bean.
A vanilla, yes, thank you, if you will. French vanilla, if you will. Like something
lovely. Basically, yeah, basically like what I was trying to get at was that there was nothing in here that was like a step up in the spicy scale. If you've read an Elsie Silver book, or if you've read, I don't even know, like if you
book with spice, you could read Deep End and it's not going to be like a, I wouldn't say there's a quote unquote trigger warning for
right
spice that you're going to get.
Like, I'm even thinking like Play Along by Becca Mack. Garrett, I'm pretty sure, is like using
yes
dildos on Jenny.
Yes.
And they're like, you know what I mean? And like that to me was like a lot spicier with no trigger warning versus like Deep End, which just kind of read like any other romance, spicy romance book to me.
And like you kind of, and again, like, and it leads up to this, like, just remember, like, if you want me to stop, you just, like, they kind of kept reinforcing, like, this word, like, of stop, stop, stop. We don't need a safe word. Just use the word stop.
Our consensual king, Lucas Blomquist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought for sure, which, again, I don't care, but don't market it.
Right. No, I'm not complaining. I liked how it played out. I was pleasantly surprised, actually, that it was more vanilla. For my little vanilla heart.
You're working a little vanilla hearts over here? Yeah.
Yeah. But I was expecting like very much, yes. Like I was expecting like basically erotica. Yes. And no, it wasn't. There was actually like a full plot to this book. Scarlett's coming. Full plot. Yeah. Scarlett's coming back from injury. There's a lot of training. She's, you know, obviously also in school. She's taking the MCAT. Her and Luke are both trying to become doctors. Like, there was so much plot happening that probably the spice
overcome like her mental blocks, even like,
yeah, kind of therapy heavy book.
Yeah, like I would almost say this is more marketable as someone overcoming a traumatic or multiple trauma events in their yeah life and to work through something, not to be afraid to reach out for help and see someone, understanding that there could be mental blocks. And that goes for anyone, like maybe not even because of a traumatic experience, but something could have just happened and you're kind of stuck per se. I thought you could market it like that.
Yeah. If you need a book that is strong in like the mental health department, Deep End by Allie Hazelwood. Okay. If you need a book that is just as spicy as any other romance novel, Deep End by Allie Hazelwood.
You want a book that has a wonderful narrator with a lovely accent, Deep End
by Allie Hazelwood. If you want an Allie Hazelwood book where the man is the size of a refrigerator and the girl's a little teeny tiny little salt shaker, Deep End, Allie Hazelwood. Allie Hazelwood loves to make the man like 6'7" and then the girl like, oh, teeny tiny little baby.
That's so true.
Every time. They're like, she's like, oh my God. Like, even, okay, you know, spoiler alert, Dr. Carlson. They make an appearance in, you know, they are the teachers or the professor, sorry. Another man who's literally like a college professor, 6'7", and he's all like brooding, whatever. And then like Olive is all like a little infant baby girl.
Yes.
Yeah. That's how ever. And you know what? I normally don't like that. Like when the female character's like, I'm just so tiny and petite and he's so big. But something that Allie does, I'm like, I love it. Give me big man, little baby girl.
Energy all day, every day.
All day, every day.
She does it so well.
She really does it so well.
I don't know how she does it, but she does it so well.
She is also so good at writing dialogue.
Chef's kiss to Allie.
So good.
Also just like kind of giving like a humor around like what's happening. Like when you're setting, like she's setting a scene, right? Mm-hmm. And like there's something about how she crafts that narrative that has you chuckling, but excited and heartfelt all in one. And then all of a sudden you feel like you're in the scene with, like, it's an automatic, like, plunge into, like, what you're seeing.
Yeah. It's I love her writing. And you can tell how much stronger her writing has gotten. So the Love Hypothesis was, I believe it was just Raylo fanfic.
I think so. I think you're right.
That just be like, you know, got picked up and was published. I mean, a lot of her stories read a little bit like Raylo fanfic. She's kind of gotten away from that, but definitely the first two books, heavily inspired. Heavily inspired. And you can just tell that her writing has improved. She's always written really good dialogue and like really good banter.
Even in books that like, I would say she's an autobiography author. No matter what, I will read what she writes.
Yep.
Everything is rated fair. I don't think I've rated maybe one that's like in the threes, but everything to me is like a 4-star and above.
Mm-hmm.
Hovering around that 4, 4.5 mark. There's only one book that I think I was like, this was.
Check and Mate.
What?
Check and Mate.
Oh, maybe 2.
No, I'm just asking. Okay, so what's the one that was 3.5?
I wasn't the biggest fan of Bride.
Okay.
It didn't really do anything.
And that's some people's favorite.
I know. It was not my favorite. Check and Mate, same thing. I actually didn't mind the plot, though, around it.
Yes.
I wish it actually was just no romance. Like, we talked about this before, but I almost wish it was, like, a no romance type of story. I enjoyed the plot. So,
yeah.
Check and Mate, to me, wasn't. It was probably more around that 4-star mark. To me, Bride was a 3.5-star.
Yes.
I know for you, like, Not in Love. Is that your... Okay, so where in the... Because we've read them all.
We've read them all. I actually did just record a TikTok about my ranking. So I'm prepared. So I'll give you my ranking right now. Starting from my least favorite.
Okay.
Check and Mate.
Okay.
Then, then it was Love on the Brain. Because I still can't get over the scene at the end when, like, that guy, like, pulls a gun on them.
It's a little wonky, but I get that, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So then after that, it was Bride. Mm. And then The Love Hypothesis, which I don't – to me, like, The Love Hypothesis is not her strongest whatsoever. But it was my first one, so it holds a special place in my heart.
I get what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Like, I know that it's not her best or even, yeah. Like, I know that – Check and Mate is a better written book. I just didn't connect to the characters. The Love Hypothesis, probably her weakest, but still, I loved it.
It's a different type of, I'm with you.
Yeah, it's the nostalgia. And these are rankings based on vibes, not based on, like, actually which book is the best. So then Love Hypothesis, then Deep End.
Okay.
So Deep End is sitting at 3.
Okay.
Love Theoretically is 2. And Not in Love is 1, and people hate Not in Love.
So I'll tell you my rating.
Okay.
So I was very, I had a really hard time because I rated Not in Love 4 stars. I could sit here today and I can't tell you a goddamn fucking thing that happened in that book.
Wait, no, that's honestly how I feel about Bride. I don't
remember anything that happened. I remember a smidge of Bride, and I just remember thinking, like, it ain't bad, but, like, I'm not digging it. Like,
I just remember in Bride, her sleeping in the closet.
Yes! Why does that? And there was a little girl. That's literally, like, my 2 things. And, like, her friend was stuck in, like an apartment or something.
Yeah.
So I honestly have to say, even though I don't remember anything about Not in Love, Bride takes my least favorite.
Okay.
And then it's not in, is that what even what it's called? Not in Love? Not
yeah.
All in Love? Whatever it's called?
Not in Love.
Okay, so Not in Love. Then I would say Check and Mate.
Okay.
Then I would say, I'm with you. Love on the Brain.
Okay.
I'm with you on the Love Hypothesis because I read it on the eve of my wedding. It was like my first dip of my toes into it. So I probably would say Love Hypothesis.
Yeah.
Bend, and then Love Theoretically is my 1 still.
Yeah. Love Theoretically is so good.
Yeah.
I'm Not in Love. When I was reading it, like it just really did something.
Yeah.
I just really, really loved it. And it was, like, really hard for me to admit that Love Theoretically was, like, dethroned because I was like, nothing will it's beat Love Theoretically. And then Rue and Eli came in and I was like, ooh, I think I love them.
I could not tell you a single thing that happened in that book.
I honestly, if you ask, this is, like, what's so crazy. If you ask me anything about Emily Henry, I can give you the plot, the character names. I can, like, deep dive. I can give you it all. You ask me anything about any Ali Hazelwood book, and I love them. I'd be like,
I also,
well, okay, like,
we'll back ourselves up for 2 seconds though with that statement, because even though they are romance books, the main characters, especially in the Love Hypothesis, Love on the Brain, and Love Theoretically, are STEM related. So unless you are like fully immersed in that world and understand, and I'm not saying like a deep understanding, they do not deep dive into anything.
No.
But like, I know Love on the Brain was more, wasn't like astro stuff.
Yeah, because she wears those ugly ass galaxy leggings, yes, that drive me fucking crazy. Okay, this is my question though for you, really quick, because this is why I'm like, oh, what were the main characters' names for Love on the Brain?
I don't fucking know.
No, right, exactly.
Oh wait, oh fuck,
I had to look it up.
I couldn't even tell you about it for Love Theoretically. I couldn't tell you the names.
Jack and Elsie.
I just know I fucking love them.
And honestly, that's what I mean. Like, if you were like, Teresa, gun to your head, like, name all of the two main characters in every Allie Hazelwood book, I'd say, yeah, sorry, you got to shoot me.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that I love these books so much. Yeah. There's just something about, I don't know what it is. I don't remember anything about her books.
I just don't remember anything about any book I read until I posted a video today that was like, kind of like gun to your head, what could you reread over and over again? And I put them up. Besides A Court of Mist and Fury, Crescent City, maybe even like Queen of Shadows, like the rest of them, full plot. I mean, maybe The Da Vinci Code, I have reread it quite a few times.
Yeah.
But like, you know what? Never mind. I take that all back. Draco Malfoy. Falling in love. I can kind of remember that. Like, I couldn't tell you point by point like what's going on, but I could tell you like a basic of like what to expect.
I would put Allie Hazelwood on the same level as Tara DeWitt and Emily Henry, Abby Hammond as like
Silver. Yeah.
Yes. Auto by authors. You could ask me to name every single person in the Chestnut Spring series. I could do it. Every single character in Emily Henry, do it. Tara DeWitt, every main character, I can name them top of my head. You ask me every main character for Allie Hazelwood, crickets.
I mean, I'm not that good.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's so funny because I love her books. Actual crickets. I was like, Eli and Rue are the only names that I remember like wholeheartedly. And that's how I know that those are my babies.
There you go.
I love Scarlet because I have this one line tabbed, of course. And I think her and Penn are talking and they're like, oh, like, what are you doing tonight? Whatever, blah, blah, blah. And Scarlet goes, what I like is being on the couch feeling my atoms rot as I succumb to entropy. And I was like, that is me. Rotting is my favorite thing in the world.
I haven't rotten forever. And it's honestly, it's so depressing.
All I did yesterday, Super Bowl Sunday, I rotted. I went to the gym in the morning. And then 9:30 I stayed rotting.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that for you and I envy it for myself.
One day you'll be able to rot again, but you have two children under the age of two, so you don't have the luxury that I have of rotting.
I dealt with temper tantrums yesterday. It was a good time.
Yeah, and then you cried because Leah was being so cute.
Oh my god, yeah, shoot. No, like, when I tell you, you know what? We're gonna stop for a second. When your kid throws a tantrum in public, don't be embarrassed. It happens to all of us. I don't give a fuck. You do what you gotta do. You parent the way you need to parent. You mom the way you need to mom, and you handle the situation.
Yeah.
Our kid threw a fucking tantrum in the middle of Bellworks yesterday in front of 8 million people, and tis what it is. We actually were gonna, like, we were literally walking to the car, and she's like, Mom, I'm back inside. I'm like, bitch, you fucking with me? Like, but then, yes, she was being so fucking sweet. They're Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah.
She's a Sour Patch Kid right now.
I love that for her.
Where's your face? And she's like, Mama, best friend. I'm like, oh my god.
We love her. Anywho.
That's not who we're talking about today.
No. My one other issue with this book and why it's 3 is because... So we do know Allie Hazelwood is going to try to incorporate STEM into her books. It's her thing. And like, yes, Scarlett and Luke wanted to be doctors. And I guess that like kind of played into their life outside of like what they would do after the diving and swimming and Luke, you know, getting into Stanford, right? Yeah. Stanford med school and like whatever, so that their relationship can, you know, continue whatever. And I get that they also then bonded over that. And then they, you know, he like loves her, her brilliant, beautiful mind. Ugh. When he compliments her brain, he's like, I love that for him. But what I was getting at, I feel like they made the lab a thing. Like, they're in the lab and they're doing the lab. And then all of a sudden, there's no lab anymore. So either, like, don't make it a big deal or make it part of the plot.
Yeah.
Like,
it posed as a place to have sex for them.
That's literally what it was. It was for the, and like, the
recommendation from the teacher.
Yeah. And, like, the graduate assistant or whatever, he's, like, kind of hitting on Scarlett in front of Lucas. Yeah. That, I mean, like, which is whatever. But it just kind of, like, that's, it was, like, that, them fucking in the lab. And, like, just kind of throwing in Adam and Olive as cameos.
And, you know, you could have still had the whole thing play out where, like, the teacher pulls her in, gives her, like, hey, can you work on this? It could have been something.
Yeah.
But more like behind the scenes, like mention that she's coming from the lab, mention that she had, like, we don't need all this jibber jabber of what they're doing and why, and like the data they're producing and catching Lucas up on the, like, in the car the one time just to kind of blab, just to speak. Like, I don't think, I'm with you. Like, we didn't need a tremendous spotlight put on this part of the book when it served as like a sex place.
And again, like, the plot would have still plotted if they didn't want to become doctors, or if there wasn't a science class. Like, she could have been taking Swedish for some reason instead of German, and he could have helped her. Or she could have been taking, you know what I mean, if they wanted to, like, incorporate some tutoring aspect, which, like, she's smarter than him, which, like, I kind of like that Allie did that. I just felt like she tried to incorporate the STEM in because that's what she's known for, and it, there was just so much happening with the diving and the swimming and everything else that I just don't think we needed to have them also want to become doctors and, like, also have this, like, lab and also this and also this. Like,
yeah.
I just also don't believe that Olympic medal caliber swimmers have time to take the MCAT.
I'm kind of with you on that. Or even to again, knowing what a quote unquote potential workload could look like with that kind of a pre-med.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, to even factor in that extra process of being in that lab. Do you know how many hours you typically spend in a lab when you're doing those kinds of research projects?
Yeah, we've read it in all for other books, 12 hours a day.
You're not in there for an hour. Like,
no.
That actually serves zero purpose being in there. Maybe pivoting out your Excel spreadsheets and your data, but you're not running... You're not running any type of research or any type, like, you're not running tests.
No, you're not doing anything meaningful.
No.
And, like, when do you have the time to study if you're traveling every weekend? One weekend he's in Sweden, then he's here, then he's here. Like,
you could have had the, like you're saying, you still could have had the end goal being, like, being doctors.
I'm
cool with that. You could have had more focus, I think, on just, like, general coursework. You could even focus, all student athletes have to have hours for, like, studying, and there's tutors available to you. We could have had more light shed on that. What a true student athlete means, especially out of Stanford. You're talking, I know they're D1, but, like, I don't know if they're like a Big Ten or a Big 12, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what they're classified as, but, like, I'm pretty sure Stanford is D1.
I think Stanford's D1. And it's not even like, oh, like, they just play D1 professional football, or, like, not professional.
No, these people are
like so Olympic caliber swimmers, which especially Lucas.
Especially Lucas, yeah. Like, so again, have that pre-med focus, sure, but I would have preferred, like you're saying, like, I don't know.
I think it would have taken him at least 5 years to get through pre-med with a vigorous swimming schedule like he has, where he's literally in the Olympics and he's swimming in worlds and he's swimming in all the NCAA. D3, like,
athletes take 5 years.
Yes.
D3.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, you're telling me a D1 athlete, like, maybe, and again, what would have made sense with Scarlett being injured is to redshirt the year that you're injured and you're recovering. So you get that extra year of diving. That, it makes more sense, especially going for Olympics. Like, you redshirt. Like, Lucas could have done the same thing at some point, too. Or, hey, if you wanted to finish in 4 years, fine. But, again, I'm kind of with you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was just like, it just, like, was another added thing. And, again, if somebody's listening and you know somebody that was at Lucas's caliber that also went pre-med and took the MCAT while swimming in, like, Worlds and the Olympics and traveling to Europe to swim.
Where can we go see them? Because they probably should be our doctor.
Yeah, so say, let me know what they specialize in and yeah. give me their number because yeah. I want to know if they take Cigna. But seriously, I was like, okay, like, we don't need STEM in every book.
No.
Like, we did not need them to be in a lab together. There's no time for them to be in lab.
No.
No. So that was like my like one like big issue with the book. Because I was just like, we know that Lucas has honestly so many good lines. Like,
another thing, Scarlet.
He's just, it's so good. Yes, but Allie in general, besides like the refrigerator salt shaker combo that she likes to put in, she likes a man who's like, not very, I don't want to call Lucas broody because I don't think he was brooding. Like, he's very, like, he's like laughing with the boys at the pool. Like, he's social, whatever. But
they're more mature and I think sure of themselves.
Yeah.
Which can then be confused with maybe someone who's a bit more like standoffish and brash.
Yeah. But think about it. Every single one of her books, the male main characters are so thoroughly like down bad for the girls.
Yes.
And the girls are kind of like, wait, what? Boys?
Boys, huh? They like me?
This boy likes me?
Yeah.
And they're like, they have been in love, like every single book, the man has like been in love with her secretly for ages.
He's fallen harder or has fallen prior to her ever.
He is all, he has swan dived into the Grand Canyon and she is like just touching down on her flight to Arizona.
Yeah.
She's like not even in the state yet, but he's at the bottom of the canyon. Like that is how she writes these books, but they're so like, I guess like the tall, like silent type a little bit with their feelings.
Yes.
Except you, they say and do certain things the entire time where you're like, this person's obsessed with you.
Paying attention? Yeah. Like what?
When she goes, how did you even know that I was at Avery? Meaning like I guess it's like the pool building or whatever. And he's like, oh, sweetheart, if you don't think that I'm very aware of your presence always, you have no idea what's going on. And I was like, at that point, you know, this man is madly in love.
Yes. I like when he admits to her. So you do come to find out that Penn had made the request in their relationship to bring in additional people.
Yes.
Sometimes guys, sometimes girls. And he's always agreed, whatever her pick, it was always Penn's pick. He requested one person ever. And it was turned down, denied, and he's only ever said one, and it was
Scarlet. And that's why Penn in the beginning, she's like, I know you think she's hot.
Yeah.
That's how. And
that's why.
It's just so good. And I love when his brother comes and like his brother is like, oh, like you have a girlfriend. And like none of them ever met Penn. This is the thing. None of them ever meet Penn. Penn is just like, honestly, like we said, they were best friends who basically fooled around when like they needed like a release. And it like is annoying because Scarlet and Penn really do get along really well. At the end, years later in the epilogue, we know that they're still really good friends. And it's like frustrating because, yes, the whole they don't want anybody to know that they broke up, which again is so strange.
Yeah.
Lucas is just like, whatever, I don't fucking care. Like, whatever Penn wants to do.
But like, still,
he's like, as long as Scarlet knows that we're not together, because all he cares about is Scarlet, he's like, as long as she knows, I don't really care what anybody else thinks.
But the one thing I will say against that kind of bothered me with that is because for someone who's been so aware of her, right, for so long, so smitten with her, so like insane, I don't want to call it possessive.
No, he's not.
But like, he's all in with her.
Mm-hmm.
to me, that kind of aligns with someone who wants to ensure that people know that she is his. So to me, it didn't make much sense.
Yeah.
That he wouldn't correct. Maybe you don't even have to vocalize it, but the fact that he never corrected anyone,
yeah,
to me was kind of like a, I don't really like that.
Yeah.
I also wasn't the biggest fan, but I understand how this kind of tied into why Scarlett was so particular about Penn's feelings. Is Penn's specifically states to her, even though her and Lucas are not okay for right now, she wants to experience, she believes that they are soulmates,
mm-hmm,
and will find their way back to one another.
Yes.
So I understand where Scarlett's coming from, where like you're kind of trying to protect your friend's feelings. But I don't like that that comment was in the commentary. I kind of wish it was left out. Because you're insinuating that you really do believe. I mean, then again, you were together for such a long time. You were so young. So maybe you don't fully understand what's out there until, like, you got to experience what's out there. And then you come to find out that she's with that TA. Like, she does really like him. They end up breaking up. Like, it could have just been, like, an immature comment because you know nothing.
Yeah.
You don't know what you don't know. And all you know is one person. But to me, like, there was that comment. And then the fact that Lucas never corrected anyone. I was like,
Yeah.
Rubbing me a little bit of the wrong way.
And, like, I get it because Lucas was like, oh, like, Penn doesn't want anybody to know that we broke up yet. And, like, I kind of owe it to her because she was there for me when, like, my mom. And he was like, basically, he even says, too, he's like, I don't – when it comes out that Scarlett and him are together, when, like, the other girls see them and it's, like, the whole thing and Penn's, like, acting like she's been wronged, Lucas is like, listen, no, we're not going to fucking do that.
Yeah.
You – broke up with me months ago, like 8 months ago. We've been broken up for 8 months, which is like crazy. And he's like, you broke up with me. We've been broken up. I've been with Scarlett. I don't want to be with you.
Yeah.
Like we're not going to do that. We're not going to play victim. Yeah. And I like that he stands up for it. And he even says, he's like, I don't care what anybody else thought because Scarlett knows how I feel. And I like how Scarlett isn't like, he confesses his love. I like that she's not like, no. Like, she just is like, hey, like, I just need a minute to process my feelings.
Yeah.
And it only takes her, like, 2 weeks. I think that's, like, how long the time frame is.
Yeah, it wasn't long.
It wasn't super long. And then she goes out. She goes there. And it's, like, I know, their so reunion is
but I so thought, fucking cute. I'm kind of with you. I liked her step back, too. Like, you're kind of getting alerted by this other girl that, like, you should be careful of. Like, you just had a lot thrown at you. And
yeah.
You kind of went all in to protect this girl who you were warned against, kind of rubbing shoulders against this other girl who you never had beef with. You're always nice and pleasant with one another. Like, you go out of your way to finally stand up for someone and be a friend. And, like, this is how you're repaid.
Yeah.
Kind of understand all sides of it, you know?
Yeah. And I'm happy that, like, Penn goes there and is like, and I'm happy too that, like, the other girls, like, kind of, like, immediately, like, don't take Penn's side. Like, it's very much like, the twins check in, Victoria even checks in.
Yeah.
So it's like annoying. And I get, like, I know people don't like the whole, like, other woman drama. There really isn't other woman drama, except for the one part at the end that is, like, the catalyst for whatever separation they have to have before, like, Scarlett, like, comes to this, like, epiphany that she needs to go to Sweden. And I love that, like, he's waiting for her and he's like, oh, like, you never turned your location off. And he checks on her. Like, to make sure that she's, like, home and safe before he can, like, sleep. And, like, the first thing he does when he wakes up in the morning to make sure she's, like, okay. He's always checking in. It's so cute. And another thing I think is so funny, when they're together, he's, like, never on his phone. Like, if his phone goes off, he, like, puts it away. He doesn't look at it, whatever.
He's present in the moment with her.
Every time she texts him, he answers right away. And, like, a few times she's like, oh, like, I didn't expect to hear from him or, like, whatever. And it's, like, so funny. It's, like, no, he's sitting there, like, waiting for her to text him.
Yeah. And ignoring everybody else.
Ugh. Yeah.
It's impressive that she can pack all that into 300-plus pages, not even. It's under 4, right? Or this might be.
It's actually a little bit over 4. It's, like, 420. Yeah, there's just, like, so many cute little things when he's in her phone as, like, Lucas Penn, which I do that, too. Like, when I, like, meet a significant other's, like, whatever for the or a friend's significant other for the first time, I'm always like, oh, like, a lot of Gil's friends' wives started out my phone as, like, Nikki Jake and, like, Jenna Nick, like, whatever. And, like, now that, like, we've all known each other forever and they're married, like, whatever, I've updated the contacts. But he's Lucas Penn in her phone Luke sees this. He changed it to Lucas Scarlet. And I'm like, he's so in love.
It's adorable.
But yeah, I gave this 4.5. And it's just like nitpicking the few things that like kind of I thought like weren't.
To
like,
reiterate, whenever we wouldn't have episodes if we didn't nitpick. That's what we're doing. It's not like a, they're not big moments where we're like, this is absolutely atrocious. It's
no.
Just,
I like to nitpick. I'm a nitpicker. I'm a hater at my core. I'm going to hate. Like, I'm gonna. But 4.5 stars, great. I love this. This is my third favorite Allie Hazelwood book. And, like, I love all Allie Hazelwood books. Again, don't ask me any of the names of the characters, but I love them.
Couldn't tell you.
Next week, we'll be spilling the tea. Mm-hmm. I do, if you guys like my hater-aiding and my nitpicking, there is a book that I'm going to talk about next week.
You always have one. Every
I do. I know, and I gave it 3 stars because I think the writing was good. The main character really pissed me off.
I could say that.
Yeah. And then we're going to end the month with Quicksilver by Callie Hart, which Katie did the audiobook already, so hopefully she remembers by the time we record.
I do. It's one of those.
I'm
really curious. I feel like that's going to be a little bit of a... We are going to nitpick on that episode.
I think I'm going to do a hybrid for Quicksilver. I think I'm going to read and listen. And then see how it goes. Because I have the audiobook, but then it's also Kindle Unlimited. So I feel like if I start reading it and then like if I, you know, my commute to work.
I did a hybrid of that. I did mostly audio towards the end.
Okay.
But I did a lot of hybrid. Because remember I texted you and I was like... The way this is sounding in my head versus the audio was a little different.
Yes.
Once I got used to, because that's when I went on my work trip. Once I got used to it, I was fine. But I did a hybrid. Shut up.
Yeah, no, I haven't started it yet. So we will discuss that in 2 weeks. Next week, we will just be going over everything that we've been reading. There's a lot because we haven't done a spilling the tea in a few weeks.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that. I think that I'm good. Do you have anything that you need to add, Katie?
No, I think that is all.
Okay, well then you can please send us out.
Oh, sure.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.